The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. March is all about Easter and Passover at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Sweet Jesus Chocolate Jesus Soap. It's a finely sculpted statue of Jesus that looks and smells like chocolate. Not available anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to be sacrilegious. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now, let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Previously on House of Clintons.
You know, I really enjoy our nightly tradition of sharing a cigarette together next to an open window, Hillary.
Me too, Bill.
Say, have you thought about whether you're going to recess appoint me as UN ambassador?
Consider it done.
Hillary can't hear me while I talk directly to the camera. Boy, I'd rather be ambassador to Pussy Riot, if you know what I mean.
Did you say something, Bill?
I did not say anything about Pussy Riot.
Uh-huh. Anyways, it's a good thing we deleted all those emails off our Hillitron 9000 email server. I thought we might finally get caught pushing that reporter onto the metro tracks after we asphyxiated that congressman in his garage.
Good old Hillitron 9000. We have lots of evil secrets we need to keep. Secret. Hope she never finds out her homebrew server included a free lifetime membership to NewBiles.com. Yummy.
Excuse me, Madam President.
Come on in, Meacham. Doug Stamper found Vince Foster hiding in New Mexico with one of the Area 51 aliens. Of course, he took care of him.
Goody, goody gumdrops, finally. Hey, y'all, let's celebrate. Come here, Meacham.
Oh, yeah.
We're having fun because we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Excuse me, I'm talking. Excuse me, I'm talking.
Okay. It is Tuesday, March 8th, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Yo.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Do not interrupt the Bernie.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
We are brought to you every show by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer or if you need free legal advice, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click the link on the podcast page in case you can't remember that whole big URL.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
No, you're not. I'm talking. And get free legal advice, yada, yada, yada.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
No, you're not. I'm talking. Second half of today's show will be brought to you by the Amazon link. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay, it's another big Tuesday. It seems that when we chose to do the shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we didn't keep track of when all of the primaries and debates and, you know, election events would be occurring, because they always happen to occur on the days in which we do the show. And then we do the show in the afternoon, Pacific time.
Right, and I mean, how could we have known that, a lot of
excuse me, I'm talking
Tuesdays?
See, you interrupted Bernie Sanders, and
I'm
he's getting
sorry.
Mad.
How could we have possibly have known that, considering that Super Tuesday's been a thing for how many decades?
I know. So what's going to happen, and once again today on the show, is we're going to be talking about the Michigan primary, we're going to be talking about the Mississippi primary, and we're not going to know any of the results, and then everyone's going to listen to the show after the primary results are announced and done. So we're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball here. We're just going to be completely out of date. So we're going to try.
But Bernie's still going to be talking.
Yeah, Bernie's going to still be.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
No, we're talking. No. All right.
So, yeah, so we've got those primaries happening as we speak. So if the results happen to come in and we report on the results, you will already know those results by the time you actually hear our voices, because we're not doing the show live. It's pre-recorded. So that's how it always ends up working out. But we're going to do our best to remain as timely as possible.
And let's just get this out of the way, since you're already playing that soundbite. Okay. I don't think that Bernie was sexist.
Neither do I.
Yeah. I think that's a big bunch of crap.
Yeah.
I think that he's an angry old man who is prone to ranting about this thing that he's absolutely obsessed with. Not to say that it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, once he gets going, it's like, don't get in his way.
No.
And don't get in Burnzilla's way.
I really enjoyed his performance at the Fox News town hall last night, which was really entertaining to me for a number of reasons. And when Bernie was asked,
I watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, there you go. It's probably about the same level of entertainment then. But at one point, Bernie was asked about something Hillary's been saying about the auto bailout, and Bernie Sanders just completely dismissed it offhand. He's just like, that is complete and total nonsense. And then just moved on to something else and just answered a completely different question. And then Tommy Christopher posted on the Daily Banter today Bernie's answer on healthcare, which I thought was really great. I thought it was absolutely one of the best things he's ever said in one of these events.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
No, wrong. That's the wrong clip. Here's the clip about Bernie Sanders talking about healthcare.
I believe that healthcare is a right of all people. I believe that there is something wrong when we are spending...
Where did that right come from in your mind?
Being a human being. Being a human being. And what I believe, Brett, you may disagree with me, I believe that if she is poor and you are rich, she is entitled to the same quality health care that you have because she's a human being.
Yep, exactly. It's precisely what the answer should have been. But Bear was looking for the answer to be, well, that right comes to us from God.
Yeah.
That's probably the answer he was looking for there.
I think that's good. I've had discussions before with my friends who are hardcore Republican, and many of them seem to, I don't know whether this is just a product of Fox News fear-mongering or what, mm-hmm. but many of them seem to have this attitude that, well, you know what, there are people who are gaming the system.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to give my money to it if there are people out there who are getting stuff that they don't deserve, getting health care they don't deserve, or operations they don't need, or I don't know, some shit like that.
Yep.
And my attitude has always been kind of like what Bernie just said. My attitude has been, you know what? I look at it the same way that I look at capital punishment, about, you know, it's better for 10 guilty people to go free than one innocent person to die. I would rather that the person, the little kid who desperately needs health care, that kid gets it, even if all of us have to pay for it, it's a small price to pay to know that some people are gaming the system. As long as that little kid or that person who doesn't have enough money to afford health care gets what they need.
Yeah, exactly.
And legitimate cases, absolutely.
And it raises the question, why are guns a human right, according to the Constitution, and not healthcare? I mean, isn't it really ultimately, if you really boil it right down, isn't it about a means of self-defense? Isn't healthcare also self-defense in the same way, or actually in a very different way, a peaceful way of defending yourself, as guns are a more violent way of defending
yourself?
Because
you have to have a healthy populace.
That's exactly right. I mean, isn't it right there in the words, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And isn't healthcare intrinsically bound to those things?
Yeah.
So therefore,
I think that I do. That's one of those places where I cannot even dispute one iota of what Bernie Sanders is saying.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Is that it would be really fantastic, and I think it's worth it for all of us to have to pay a little bit more. To be able to go to a hospital and just, hey, you know what, you get what you need. You get, you know what, I need to be taken care of. There are no questions. There's no haggling with insurance companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the problem, of course, is that in our society, in a capitalist society, the rich always get treated better. They always get something better. And that's fine. You know what, if you got the money to afford like the best doctor on earth, then terrific. But if you are someone who doesn't have the money, even for basic care, that you get that care. You get the care you need. You are taken care of. You don't have to worry about either being tossed out into the street, which I know doesn't happen very often, or being bankrupted.
Not getting sick and not dying
shouldn't be a luxury. It should be automatic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wrote a piece a long time ago having to do with, you know, when I was in the hospital for the brain tumor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I said, I'm like, the idea that we allow something as soulless as the free market to stand on the edge of the arena and give the proverbial thumbs up or thumbs down to whether we live or die is insane from a civilized country.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, the Republicans continue to want to make it or to keep it as a luxury for, you know, I mean, there's something wrong in a society where the ability to survive is reserved as a right for the people who can afford it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's despicable.
Yeah. Why don't I put it in these terms? What if they increased the price of a handgun to $50,000? What if it cost that much to buy a firearm? Would that be deemed a violation of the Constitution? I think it would. I think the Republicans would attack such a thing as a violation of the Constitution. Or as Chris Rock once proposed, why don't we make every bullet $50,000? Why don't we have bullet control? Well, of course, they would, the Republicans and obviously the NRA, would vocally oppose anything along those lines as being a violation of human rights, of your rights and your liberties as an American, your liberties. And so why is it that the best health insurance is also the most expensive health insurance? Why can't everyone have the same level of health care, therefore leveling the playing field, making it just as easy for someone who makes $20,000 to survive and live a healthy, happy life versus someone who's making $20 million who can afford a much better health insurance policy and therefore much better doctors and much better access to all of those things? Seems to make perfect sense. Now, all of that said, as we spent the first 12 minutes of the show praising Bernie Sanders, now a brief reality check. Thank you very much. After today,
we just lost all of those listeners. We're like, wait a minute. They're feeling the burn. The heavens just opened. They're feeling the burn. Right.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Oh, okay.
It's so, you know, Morpheus, like the Bernie Morpheus. They're starting to believe.
Well, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is that I kind of agree with just about everything Bernie Sanders says. I have trouble with the practicality of it. I have trouble with maybe why he's saying it in this context. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that after today, and after this Michigan primary, certainly after the 15th, which is the date that you've been talking about most often, it's going to be extraordinarily difficult for Bernie Sanders to get anywhere close to being the nominee, with the exception of some sort of force majeure situation, as we talked about on our special Sunday after party. I think only an act of God, something terrible happening to Hillary Clinton, or maybe a gaffe or some big scandal, that I don't see anything short of that changing the landscape, just looking at the numbers. And that's not to say that Bernie Sanders is a loser or what he's been saying is wrong or anything along those lines.
Or that he won't win some more states.
That's exactly right. And he certainly will. He's absolutely going to win Wisconsin. And that's coming up, what is that? That's coming up Saturday, I think.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, let me just check my calendar. All right, here we go. I'm opening up 538, and it looks like Wisconsin appears to be happening in April. So I was completely wrong. I was off by over a month. So April 5th is the Wisconsin primary.
So listen to nothing we have to say.
For both parties. And right now, as it stands, Bernie Sanders leads by, that'd be 0.6 percentage point as of today. And there's no, there's not enough polling yet to create an actual forecast. So the Nate Silver's polling average has Sanders at 43.9% and Clinton at 43.3%. But going to Michigan, which is happening today, and I know that for sure because I'm double-checking the date right now. I do this for a living, folks. The polling average is 58.2% for Clinton and 36.9% for Sanders, and that's probably how it's going to suss out in the actual election today. So if we see any results come through, we'll be sure to report them for what they're worth, because by the time you hear the show, you will already know. So anyway, Here's a question, and this actually brings up, takes us back to the gun question that we were talking about earlier, guns versus healthcare, and Bernie Sanders related to all of this. Going back to the debate the other night, why on earth does Bernie Sanders keep defending gun manufacturers? It seems like irresponsible corporations, regardless of what they're selling,
are not actually killing you.
Yeah.
Are not contributing almost directly to your death.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is something that's been brought up in several different debates, most recently and most heatedly during the CNN debate the other night. I believe it was Sunday night. Now, I don't understand why he's stuck on this, why he decided to defend. I mean, I think I know why. In fact, I do know why. And it's for cynical political reasons. Obviously, Vermont is a more rural gun-owning state.
Yes.
So obviously, he's not going to do too much to put that in jeopardy and to put himself in jeopardy with his voters. So consequently, he voted to continue to allow gun manufacturers to get off of, basically to not be sued by people who are shot in mass shootings. It's the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act that Bernie Sanders voted to support back in 2005. And that makes it impossible, well, not impossible, but very, very difficult for victims of gun violence to sue the manufacturers of guns. Now, whether or not you think that should be something that's allowable, as far as I'm concerned, it's a matter for the courts to decide. As with any grounds for lawsuit, there is a means for backstopping frivolous lawsuits. To say, no. This is a frivolous lawsuit and it can't go forward. There are courts, there are judges and juries to decide whether or not there's merit to a particular lawsuit. If it seems frivolous, then they'll toss it out. If it seems like it's there's merit to it, they'll allow it to go forward. And that's the process by which we determine whether or not suing gun manufacturers is permissible. I think that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Well, for some reason, during the Bush administration, this was a law that needed to be passed to protect gun manufacturers. And I don't exactly get why this was even necessary, given the courts. And when Bernie defended himself during this debate, and Hillary Clinton actually went after him, probably Hillary Clinton's best moment from the CNN debate.
Well, you talk about corporate greed. The gun manufacturers sell guns to make as much money as they can make.
And that is true. That's absolutely true. And the NRA is not about the Second Amendment, as we've said many times on this show.
I like her voice, by the way. I know everybody gives her crap. I like her voice because it sounds like my mom when she gets angry.
Really?
And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, did you notice?
It's that mom just raised her voice, don't f*** with me thing.
Right. Well, the fact that what we did notice on the CNN debate the other night is that, you know what? They both yell. Both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders raise their voice to project to the back of the room. Most politicians do.
But you know what? What you don't have is, even when they get angry at each other, you still don't have the CNN caption, unintelligible yelling.
Right.
You still don't have, three bungling idiots shouting at each other and one talking about his dick.
That's exactly right. And that was certainly the case on the Republican side. And instead, we had just a moment of this.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
But that was like the worst of it. And nowhere near the caliber of just childish, like recessed screeching, shouting over top of each other and talking about, as you said, talking about dick size and yada, yada, yada. By the way, I think last Tuesday's show, we said the word dick 31 times. That was the statistic. Someone actually counted on That's Twitter nice. And then posted on Twitter the number of times we said dick. So really, really, really appreciate that. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more after a short break. But first, let's discuss this. I can't stop talking about Harry's Razors, Jazz. So the other day, just for the sake of bringing my Harry's experience to you, I thought I'd conduct an experiment on myself. So this is what I did, I swear to God. I shaved the right half of my face using my new 5-blade German-engineered Harry's razor, and the other half of my face with my old store-bought razor. You know, the one most often found behind the protective glass at the store because they cost $1,000 a piece or something like that. Anyway, the results, night and day. My Harry's razor side felt clean, soft, and smooth, while the non-Harry side was stubbly, rough, and irritated. I even had Chez, you know, massage my face just to be sure, to verify the results. So what did I do? I reshaved the other side of my face using my Harry's razor, and it was like a breath of fresh air. Seriously, guys, you have to try Harry's razors, and maybe try my challenge if you're not fully convinced. First, go to harrys.com, pick up the Harry's starter set. It's an amazing deal. Just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, 3 razor blades, and don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits, so you don't have to worry if you drop your Harry's razor in the shower either, because they're all snap right back together. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BNC, B-A-N-D-C, for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs or your armpits with Harry's Razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday.
Did I stress you out?
Okay, so getting back to the the gun situation. It just seems completely inconsistent. I mean, isn't greed greed? Greed is greed. And what we do know is that all of these gun manufacturers are selling firearms, specifically firearms like the AR-15, which was the Sandy Hook weapon. They're selling these guns because they look badass. That's why the AR-15 is probably the most popular firearm in the United States. Yes, not probably.
Because it looks badass. It's a military weapon.
Yeah, it's a military weapon. So who's buying military-style weapons? And why are they buying them? I mean, it's, you know, there's a distinction here. And I've been hearing this from gun defenders, both on the left and the right, is that, well, I mean, if you get in a car accident, shouldn't you be able to sue the car manufacturer then?
I swear to God, I really thought you were going to say, if you get in a car accident, shouldn't you be able to shoot the other driver with an AR-15? That's why you need your AR-15.
That's exactly
right.
So
if you get in a car accident, you could just shoot the other driver like in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Exactly. Just like Chez does in Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's what I do, seriously. Anybody runs into me in that game, and I just immediately get out, hey, man, I'm sorry. And you just blow them away.
Right, precisely. But, I mean, there is a huge difference between cars and guns. Cars are manufactured specifically as transportation. Guns are manufactured in order to kill or maim living creatures. That's whether they're humans, animals, or somewhere in between. And to say that somehow, you know, car manufacturers should be liable in automobile accidents, well, you know what? There are ways you can actually still sue car manufacturers if you want to. But as I said before, you know, there are courts and judges to decide whether or not your suit has merit. You don't need a law to say, well, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Well, we have a system in place for that. It's called the judicial system. And so that's actually the stopgap against such you know, frivolous lawsuits in those cases. And if the Sandy Hook families are frivolously suing Remington, the manufacturer of the AR-15, then there will be a judge who will say, this is frivolous. You don't have a case here. Go away. But if the judge says, yes, this case has merit because Remington has manufactured a gun that looks like a military assault rifle, right, then that is being purchased by people like Adam Lanza's mother, and therefore used by Adam Lanza for the purposes of stopping human beings who are perceived to be a threat, just like, you know, in a military-style combat situation. You sell firearms that look like those weapons used in Call of Duty or in Iraq or in Afghanistan, then people are going to expect similar results. People who are prone to using firearms for these criminal purposes, these mass shootings and the like. I mean, how many times have we seen a mass shooting and AR-15s are the weapons of choice?
Sure.
There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for that. Yeah, because people, I'm not going to blame video games, but I'm going to blame the whole culture. There is this culture around that gun that says that if you're going to shoot a bunch of people, like you are in Call of Duty or like the military does, that's the weapon you use. That's the weapon you use to feel like a badass while you're doing it.
That's right.
Except, of course, that in Call of Duty and, you know, with the military, one would hope, you're not gunning down innocent people.
One other question, and this is a serious question for Bernie Sanders supporters. Why does he continue to defend his vote against the TARP bailout? Okay, there are two ways to look at the TARP bailout. There's the realistic way, which, you know, all of the horrible things about the Bush administration aside, the fact of the matter is that the bailout was absolutely mandatory to stop the gaping chest wound in the world economy. There, something needed to be done to infuse cash, and government, and this is a purely liberal position. I don't know why liberals are opposed to this. This is a purely liberal position for the government to be able to step in and to be able to deficit spend, making sure the economy doesn't sink deeper into a global economic meltdown. Corporations, businesses, they can't do that. The government is in a unique position to spend money when there is a recession.
Right.
All right. That is the point. And this money, contrary to the fiction that's out there about TARP, this money was not a giveaway. This was not a handout that was just free money. This was money that was loaned to banks, from the biggest bank, from Wells Fargo, Citibank, all the way down to the smallest mom and pop banks, and all points in between. And that money was loaned out, and that money was paid back, by the way, at a profit for the government, because the government charged interest. And then now that the money's all been paid back, the government actually ended up, and the government, by the way, we the people, the government actually ended up making money on the whole deal, right? And again, this was a loan. This was not a handout. Bernie Sanders voted against that. And again, it wasn't free money.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
It wasn't just a big handout. It wasn't like, oh, well, Main Street's just giving free money away to the big banks. No, it didn't go down that way. And without it, we would have all been screwed. And the same goes for the stimulus, which was just another form.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. That is perfect and purity being the enemy of good and necessary.
Right.
Yes, it absolutely sucked that what happened happened. But the answer to it wasn't just, well, you know what? They should have known better. Let them do it themselves. It doesn't work that way.
Right. No.
The entire country, possibly the entire world economy, would have gone down with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I shudder to think what would have happened if it hadn't been for TARP, if it hadn't been for the auto bailout, and if it hadn't been for the stimulus, where we would be right now. Ostensibly living in, old refrigerator boxes, wearing barrels around. I don't know, but it would have been something similar to that. There were the hellscape that we experienced as a result of the recession, the thing that utterly fucked me 90 different ways, I don't mind saying, would have been far, far worse without these programs. And it doesn't matter whether or not those programs were passed by George W. Bush or Barack Obama. The fact of the matter is they were absolutely necessary. And when it came right down to it, ideology went by the wayside and practicality took over, even with the Bush administration in those waning days of his second term.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no two ways
now,
about
it. I'm the first one to say that the people who caused it should not have been given any sort of they should not have had the keys to the economy turned back over to them.
No, that is true. And
that is absolutely the truth.
Yes. And
but
that is
it doesn't matter at the time this is the thing that I find so many Bernie Sanders fanatics, not just the regular supporters, but fanatics coming down on the side of, which is this absolute ideology over any kind of practicality, looking at reality and saying, okay, these are my choices and I have to work within these boundaries. Mm-hmm. And the boundary after the economic collapse was you can either bail these people out and save some of the country and save the economy and do the best we can to pick up the pieces after that, or you can say, screw it, you know what, they deserved it, which they did, and let them go down and everybody else goes down with them.
I mean, that
everybody
comes,
suffers.
It really comes from a place, as we've talked about in the past, it comes from a place of privilege, where if you're pretty much set up financially, if you've got health care, none of this really matters because you're going to be okay. you're personally going to be okay. If suddenly, you know, the economy collapses, or if suddenly a Republican is elected, and those of us who do not have health insurance through our employer suddenly lose our health insurance because Obamacare has been repealed. If that is your position, that is a position of privilege, because again, you're in a place where you're well off, where you've got insurance, you're set up, and so therefore you can more freely push for something that would relegate the rest of us into some form of disaster or another. It's the
it's not just a position of privilege.
Yeah.
It's a position of selfishness.
Yeah.
Because it's this idea that we've seen from so many people on the far left, and you know, the far right too, but the far left, these you know, the Bernie acolytes who are just, you know, the Bernie or bust people. Let's call them that. These are the people who are just, well, you know what? I have to vote my conscience. You know what? F*** your conscience. Your conscience doesn't matter. What you need to be doing is voting for the greater good.
Yeah.
Because that's the unselfish way to look at it.
Yeah.
There are people other than you who will suffer for your decision.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Now, the one area where I agree with Bernie is that I think something should have been attached to TARP, or certainly the stimulus, that would have held some more Wall Street executives accountable.
Totally. 100%.
I mean, and if you want to know part of the rap sheet, I mean, if you want to know the list or the rogues gallery of people who are guilty of aiding and abetting the collapse of the American economy during the 2008, I would go, it started to hit me around 2007. I don't know about anyone else, but 2007, I started to feel it. Then 2008, certainly 2009, 2010. It was an ongoing thing. But what should have been attached to all of that is for some of the people who are responsible, named in, among other things, among other places, the movie The Big Short, where we know some of the culprits, and we can see them and we can identify them, and the fact that they're still at large, it should be really irritating, but some sort of accountability for them should have been attached to all of these spending bills that were intended to bail out the economy, to make sure that at least in some way, these people can't turn around and continue to do the same crap that they were doing, which they are doing right now.
Yeah.
Which is just terrifying.
Sure. Absolutely. I agree with that. Man, when it comes to that kind of thing, I agree with Bernie 100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and it's a tough call because I understand the Obama position on this. And I know we're late for a break. But the Obama position on this has been that you can't necessarily hold some of these corporations accountable the way they need to be, and certainly some of the executives, because if they collapse, it precipitates yet another recession.
Right.
You know, if you suddenly start, what did we come up with? What was the phrase? Frog marching. Is it? We always frog get marching. Confused by that.
It's either
goose stepping, duck walking, or frog marching. I don't know which one it is. I think it's frog marching. You start frog marching these guys out of their offices, and then suddenly there's a panic among the spazzy white guys in lower Manhattan, and we're in another recession. And I can understand from a political and practicality point of view, Barack Obama not necessarily wanting to do that on his own watch. You know, I think that's the politically smart thing to do, even though it's not the plan of attack that it carries with it the most justice for the culprits of all of this stuff. So I understand the frustration. I also understand the political expedience of not doing it.
That's why we just black bag them. Yes. We should totally like quietly black bag Lloyd Blankfein.
Yeah.
And like Jamie Dimon, and just say, you know what, they're vacationing in the Hamptons.
And this is
that way the spazzy white guys never, you know, they never freak out, but secretly we, you know, sent them to The Hague.
That's right. We render them off to Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
All right. Going to take another break. Back with more show after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. If you want to go shopping at Amazon.com. It's great. It's convenient. The low prices, in some cases, free shipping. You can get Amazon Prime and then sign up for that and get movies and all that happy crappy. But first, enter Amazon.com using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing extra, and it helps support the show. Thank you for doing that. All right. So I wanted to mention this thing about Tammy Duckworth. The NRSC, which is the National Republican Senate Campaign Committee, tweeted out this this horrendous, horrendous message and link today. The tweet goes, Tammy Duckworth has a sad record of not standing up for our veterans. Okay, couple things here. When it comes to veterans, Tammy Duckworth is an Iraq War veteran. Tammy Duckworth, as far as standing up goes, Tammy Duckworth lost both of her legs in George W. Bush's Iraq War and the Republican Party's Iraq War, voted on by Republicans in the Senate. And now the Republican Senate Campaign Committee decides to tweet out, Tammy Duckworth has a sad record of not standing up for our veterans. Standing up for our veterans. Horrendous. Suffice to say, they deleted the tweet after everyone went rightfully batshit all over them.
Yeah, they kind of had that coming.
Good God, she's a double amputee. She's got the titanium Lieutenant Dan legs as a result of the goddamn Iraq War. You know, this very much reminds me of what happened to what Sax Chambliss did to Max Cleland.
The
2002 election.
Priceless.
Yeah.
They made him look like a piece of crap, and the guy was a war hero.
He's a war hero, left three of his limbs in goddamn Vietnam. Left an arm and two legs in Vietnam, confined to a wheelchair, and they went after his patriotism.
Jesus.
In the name of supporting a candidate who refused to go to Vietnam. Saxby Chambliss.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. And it was orchestrated by Karl Rove, who's the right-hand man to a guy who went to the Texas Air National Guard instead of going to Vietnam, George W. Bush. What, three effing limbs. I finally got to meet Max Cleland, believe it or not, in Hawaii, weirdly. Huh? He was at an event. And one of the greatest moments of my life, even prior to that event, I got an email one day from Max Cleland after I wrote something in defense of him and attacking Karl Rove and the Republicans for questioning his patriotism. I wrote something about that in the Huffington Post. This was maybe 2-3 years ago. Got a personal email from Max Cleland thanking me for that. That is one that I have framed. I very seldom do that. I don't keep that crap laying around. But this one was like, wow. He didn't have to do that, but he did anyway. And so I personally thanked him for his email at that event in Hawaii. He was really great. Really, really nice guy. But as I said, I mean, you want to talk about an act of valor? There are thousands of people, including Tammy Duckworth, who left their limbs behind, left their sanity behind in Iraq. Sure. In the name of this war. And they have the balls. I mean, unbelievable. The Republican Party has the balls to tweet out something like this. Disgraceful. Utterly disgraceful. They need to be on their hands and knees apologizing profusely, not only to Tammy Duckworth, but to every veteran.
Oh, definitely.
To every veteran, especially the ones who left limbs in Iraq so that George W. Bush could be reelected in 2004.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Really, really is. All right. So we're going to take one last break. I know that was a short segment, but we just got caught up in crap. We're going to take one last break and come back and talk about Donald Trump right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Really?
What?
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
All right. Yeah, what the hell? It's Madonna on a Tuesday. What can I say?
Is this for International Women's Day?
Yeah, I played my two favorite female recording artists right here in the show today. Alanis Morissette and Madonna. I don't know. They're not my favorites. I don't know. I just was like, oh.
You say, wow, you're apparently what? You're 19 years old?
Excuse me, I'm talking.
19 years old back in like 1989?
Right. All right, so Donald Trump. I should play my Donald Trump music. Speaking of the 80s, this is our Donald Trump music. This is like, it's just beats Patrick Bateman. All right, so Donald Trump was endorsed by a Sandy Hook truther today. And you know how we love the Sandy Hook truthers.
Guess what, Bobby Jones? You're going to get evil scum.
Not that Sandy Hook truther.
God bless his mental kids and all that.
No. Wasn't Dan Bedard.
We need to get Dan back.
I know. Well, the good news is that I went to his... Truth Radio Show YouTube page, and I noticed he's got some. I'm spoiling it now, and I won't be able to. Maybe I'll play it on Thursday. I don't know.
Okay,
I'm undecided right now. But the fact of the matter is, he's got a new video up on his Truth Radio Show page, in which he's talking about how there's an asteroid is going to hit the Earth today. In fact, March 8th. And he claims that while everyone's distracted by the election, no one's paying attention to the fact that this asteroid is going to hit today. And so...
Wow.
He shows the article on his screen, and he even points to the headline. The headline is from the Times of India, I think it is. And he's pointing to the headline, and he's reading it, and he's like, he's talking about the impending doom on its way, like... today, and the headline says that the asteroid can hit the Earth on March 8th, 2017. So this impending doom that no one's paying attention to right now because they're paying attention to the election won't even happen for like another year. And he doesn't realize it, even though it's right there in the headline that he's pointing to with his finger.
He's a big dumb animal.
He really is a big dumb animal.
God bless his mental kids and all that.
Yep. Okay. So this Sandy Hook truther endorsed Trump. This guy is named... who is it? Carl Gallops. Trump's campaign has allied itself with Hickory Hammock Baptist Church senior pastor Carl Gallops. An attempt to influence voters in the state prior to the March 15th primary.
I love the poorly educated.
Jesus Christ. The Christian leader opened a Trump rally in January, praising the candidate and leading the rally goers in an opening prayer. In an interview with WorldNet Daily, Gallops called the New York businessman the anti-Obama. He loves this nation and its heritage, Gallop.
And that means explains. He's Christ, since Obama was the anti-Christ.
That's right. Quote, he's the anti-Obama. He's the opposite of Obama. And he's commander-in-chief material. And he has that kind of presence. And he'd be tough on our enemies. Gallups, who also hosts a radio show, has also claimed
I can't fathom living in the same country with people who think like that.
I know. He also
it's staggering.
He also claims that the Sandy Hook shootings were staged, calling the parents of one of the children's children actors, just like this guy.
Guess what, Bobby Jones? You're going to get evil scum.
Yeah. Calling the parents of one of the children actors.
Trump is running the internet campaign.
Yeah.
He, you know, they've said before that he's basically like an internet comments section.
Uh-huh.
He is. He is basically, Trump has gathered all the horribleness of the internet, all the misogynists, all the conspiracy theorists,
yep,
just the bottom of the barrel of the internet, and has made this campaign, has basically elevated these people to be part of a presidential campaign.
That's right. And, you know, I blame a lot of this. I mean, I'm so glad you brought up the internet, because as far as I'm concerned, social media, and the more I think about this, the more I believe this to be true. Social media has fostered this individual bubble environment.
Sure.
Where it used to be that you used to get a wide variety of news through the traditional news media, whether it was newspapers or television or radio. Now you can fashion your own bubble where you only hear from people who agree with you.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the damage from that is evidenced in the rise of Donald Trump, in the rise of Ted Cruz, where Ted Cruz can say, yes, we can abolish the IRS. That's a practical thing to do. And by the way, send me your postcard tax returns. Well, I don't know where we send them to if you're abolishing the IRS. But regardless, people who want to believe that abolishing the IRS is a practical solution, or that building a great big wall with a big beautiful door is a practical solution, because they will only surround themselves with people who also believe that. And anyone who doesn't believe it gets banned or blocked or muted. And so, consequently, there's no diversity of ideas in individual circles anymore. You're just no longer exposed to it. And when you are, it's from outside the bubble, and therefore, by definition, suspect.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's just very, very, very destructive. And it's giving us Donald Trump. And I don't know. I don't think we're going to have time to get to it on the free show, but I proposed a series of, well, I didn't propose them. I sort of predicted a series of possibilities when it comes to a brokered GOP convention.
Yeah.
Which should be, I'm really looking forward to the next several months leading all the way to them. It's going to be a great and exciting summer observing the Republican Party just completely disintegrating.
It's going to be a riotous clusterfuck.
Riotous cluster. That's exactly right.
That's the name of the show today, by the way.
I wish I could call it that. All right,
you can put the little what do you call it in? You put the little thing in, the little star for the U.
There's so many things. There's if you put a star like that into the code, I'm afraid that it's going to flummox the entire feed.
That's fair.
It's happened before. Okay, so meanwhile, this isn't meant to defend Trump or to necessarily attack Louis C.K., because I effing love Louis C.K. As Lawrence O'Donnell said last night, it's difficult to bandy around the word genius too much, because when it gets overused and when everybody becomes a genius, nobody's a genius. But I would venture to say that Louis C.K. is a comedy genius.
Yes, in terms of comedy, absolutely he is.
Yeah. But, you know, I have this issue. And I don't know what this says about me, and I don't know how this is going to be perceived by our listeners. But I have this problem with the fact that, you know, we could be saying something on this show, or people like us with podcasts and columns on the internet. You know, we could be saying stuff like, oh, Donald Trump is like Hitler, for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, with next to no attention being paid. But as soon as Louis C.K. says it, somebody's like, oh, my God, I guess Trump really is Hitler.
Yeah, exactly. It took that endorsement.
Yeah.
Of that idea.
Suddenly, this is a legitimate talking point that Trump is Hitler just because Louis C.K. has said it. Even though a lot of us have been saying it for months now, literally months now.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I even wonder if there's any wisdom to the idea of referring to Trump as Hitler, whether or not.
You know what? I don't know, though, because, and you know, I like the idea, though, that, I mean, I don't know whether Louis was actually thinking like this, mm-hmm. but I do like the idea that the regular press is not willing to talk about this kind of thing unless somebody famous says it.
That's right.
You know, it takes somebody like Louis C.K. saying that for the regular press to report on it. Louis C.K. called him Hitler.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the same thing happens with SNL. Like, SNL will do a sketch that will include, like, a joke that, you know, someone I've seen elsewhere on Twitter or Facebook or something has basically repeated several times. And then when SNL says it, then SNL gets all the attention and all the credit for doing that. I guess that's just the way things work. But, I mean, going to the actual Hitler analogy, I'm wondering if that's a wise thing to do, to be trampling on Godwin when we've spent the last 8 years screaming at the Republicans for referring to Barack Obama as Hitler. Well, as right. You know, granted, we know what the differences are. We know that Trump is much closer to being a fascist dictator than Barack Obama, that's for sure. But do we really want to go to that extreme? And I'll give you a piece of evidence. Who has been leaning on the Hitler panic buttons, just completely taking a giant crap all over Godwin's law for 8 years now? That's Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck this week compared Donald Trump to Hitler. So obviously someone's got an issue with Godwin's law, and it's Glenn Beck. I'm very cautious about playing that Hitler card, even when it comes to Donald Trump.
I get it. No, I agree with you.
Yeah. By the way, Louis C.K. also wrote something that Lawrence O'Donnell didn't mention last night on MSNBC, and not a lot of people are talking about. But here's the second paragraph in Louis C.K.'s extended P.S. in his email blast about his new internet show. Second paragraph of this 1,400-word P.S. that he wrote, which, by the way, I love that. I love that he wrote a 1,400-word P.S., in this letter. So, but the second paragraph says, and I'm not advocating for Hillary or Bernie. I like them both, but frankly, I wish the next president was a conservative only because we had Obama for 8 years and we need balance. And not because,
you know, it's fascinating that I haven't heard more people talk about this.
Yeah.
I really thought for sure that when I read that, I really thought for sure that was going to generate a whole crap load of outrage.
Yeah. He writes, he continues by saying, and not because I particularly enjoy the conservative agenda, I just think the government should reflect the people, and we are about 40% conservative and about 40% liberal. When I was growing up and when I was a younger man, liberals and conservatives were friends with differences. They weren't enemies, and it always made sense that everyone gets a president they like for a while and then hates the president for a while. But it only works if the conservatives put up a good candidate, a good, smart conservative to face the liberal candidate so they can have a good argument and the country can decide which way to go this time. Well,
I don't disagree with that to some extent.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, I completely disagree with it. I disagree with it because even the most moderate, sane Republican remaining in the GOP nominating field, John Kasich, is a raving misogynist. I mean, this guy...
But that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying, though. He's doing the same thing that I've done many times as somebody who's our age, which is looking back at a time where when a conservative won, it didn't mean the end of the country. Or when a liberal won, it didn't mean the end of the country.
Oh, I know.
I still don't think a liberal by today's standards wins, that it means the end of the country. But yeah, these people are freaking nuts.
Yeah.
These people are not, you know, this is not the Republican Party that either of us grew up with.
Absolutely not. But I mean, what I'm trying to say here is even the sanest Republican is still someone who's going to, you know, defund Planned Parenthood, overturn Obamacare, do all of these terrible things, make it more difficult for same-sex marriages to take place. You go on down the line, completely screw the climate, setting back the fight against the climate crisis even more. While it's happening, by the way. I mean, you can run down the list, and there just aren't any conservatives who would fit that bill. And I understand, and I agree with you about hearkening back to a day when conservatives and liberals could come to compromises and so on, but it's not that way. And on the Democratic side, ultimately what it comes down to for me, and I was thinking about this the other night as I was watching the debate, I just want someone in the White House who is competent and who will, and I think this is the best we can hope for, who is competent and who will stop the Republicans from passing their ridiculous, archaic, misogynistic, destructive agenda.
Exactly.
Right.
I agree. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't. There's nothing about today's Republican Party that I think is even worth giving any credence to or any credit to whatsoever. Nope. These people are fucking lunatics.
They really, really are. And it's really just about stopping them. And it's about stopping them in a way that's competent enough so as to facilitate the next Democratic president. We don't want someone who's incompetent who's going to ruin everything and then a Republican gets elected in 4 years. We want a Democrat who's going to, and I would compare it to this. A Democrat right now is holding a big trash bag, and in that trash bag is a hornet's nest. And those hornets in there represent the Republicans. And I just want a Democrat who's going to competently hold that trash bag closed and then hand the trash bag off to the next Democrat who's going to competently hold that trash bag closed. You see what I'm saying? If someone's fumbling around with it and trying to screw around with it and looking inside and seeing what's going on, we're all going to get annihilated by the hornets. Or if someone drops the bag. We just don't want that to happen. Competency. That's what we're looking for. Competency. All right. The Postmortem Show is next. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the link at bobseska.com. And we'll see you on the other side. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.